Chapter 9. A Good Father. Godfrey and the doctor arrived at the Red House, and Godfrey changed his wet shoes and socks. Then he went to meet Nancy. He felt very happy. Now he could ask Nancy to marry him. All his problems had disappeared. He could again be the good, pleasant man that everyone liked. "No one will ever find out that the dead woman was my wife," Godfrey said to himself. "Only Dunstan can tell the truth about me, but he hasn't come back. And when he does, I'll give him money so that he won't say anything. I'll never tell Nancy the truth. Why should I ruin her happiness and mine? I'll continue giving money to Silas to help him take care of my daughter. I'll never tell anyone that I'm her father, but I'll do a lot for her. She'll probably be very happy living with Silas. It won't worry her that she doesn't know her real father." Godfrey was pleased with all his decisions, and he enjoyed himself at the New Year's Eve party. Molly was buried in Raveloe that week. In the neighbouring town, where she had been living for a short time, she didn't have any friends, and people thought that she had gone to live somewhere else. Nobody asked where she was or what had happened to her. Silas's decision to keep the poor woman's child surprised everybody in Raveloe. Silas was once again the centre of attention. The villagers spoke about him a lot, as they had done when his money was stolen, but they had changed their feelings towards him. Before the money was stolen, they had disliked Silas and had been suspicious of him. After Silas lost his money, they had felt compassion, but had still thought that he was strange and a little crazy. Now everyone, especially the women, had a lot of compassion for him. They admired him for his decision to raise the little girl. "It's difficult work to take care of a 2-year-old child," the village women said to each other. "Silas is all alone. He may need advice." The women began to tell Silas what he should and shouldn't do with the child. But Dolly Winthrop was the only one who came to the house and really helped him. He was more prepared to accept her advice because he knew her better than the other women, and he had confidence in her. "Mrs. Winthrop, here's the money Godfrey gave me," Silas said to Dolly the day after the party and Molly's death. "Could you please buy some clothes for the little girl?"
"I'll buy her some shoes, but there's no need to buy clothes," said Dolly. "She'll grow quickly, and I've got a lot of children's clothes in the house. I'll bring them for you."
On the same day, Dolly took all the clothes to Silas's house.
"Now we have to give the child a bath," said Dolly,
and showed Silas how to do this.
"She's even prettier now that she's clean," said Dolly, kissing the child's golden hair. "An angel couldn't be prettier. And to think that her mother died in the snow. But God was taking care of this child and brought her to your door. You said that the door was open, didn't you? And she just came in like a hungry little bird."
"Yes, the door was open," said Silas. He didn't want anyone to know that he'd been in a trance when the child came in. "But I can't explain where she came from, just like I can't explain where my money went."
"There are many things in life that we can't explain," said Dolly. "I'm certain that you're doing the right thing by keeping the child. I definitely think she was sent to you by God. It'll be a lot of work to raise her, but I've got some free time, and I'll come and take care of her."
"Thank you, Mrs. Winthrop," Silas said. "I'll be happy to listen to your advice, but I want to take care of the child by myself. I want her to love only me. I'm used to doing everything for myself, and I can get used to doing everything for her too."
"I understand," said Dolly. "Here, Let me show you how to dress her." At that moment, the little girl put her small arms around Silas's neck and kissed his face.
"You see, she loves you," Dolly said with a smile. "You can finish dressing her now. Then you'll always know that you took care of her from the minute she came to you."
Silas put the little girl on his knee and finished dressing her. He trembled with emotions which were new and mysterious to him. "The child has come to me instead of my gold," he said to himself. In some way, the gold became the child.
"You did that very well, Mr. Marner," Dolly said approvingly. "Now, if you're going to be her father, you will have to do all the right things for her. First of all, you must give her a name. Then you have to have her christened. She should be like all the other children in the village. You have to take her to church regularly so that she learns all the prayers. What name do you want to give her?"
Silas thought for a minute.
"My mother's name was Hephzibah," he said. "It's a good biblical name. It's too long for a small child, but I can shorten it to Eppy."
"Very well," said Dolly kindly. "I'll go and organize everything. I wish you good luck, and I believe that you and your new daughter will have a good life together."
A few days later, Silas came to the Raveloe church for the first time. Silas was christened too, with Eppy. In Lantern Yard, only adults were baptized, so all this seemed strange to him. But he was prepared to do anything he could to make Eppy's life happy in her new home in the village. As the months passed, Silas's life changed more and more. Eppy loved the sunshine, the birds and the flowers, and wanted to be outside enjoying them. Because of her, Silas learned to love nature in a way he never had before. By the time that Eppy was 3 years old, she was very active and also stubborn, and didn't always listen to what Silas told her. One day she gave Silas a terrible fright. As usual, while he was working at his weaving, Silas had tied Eppy to the loom with a long string around her waist. In this way, she could move around the entire room, but she couldn't go outside. But that day, Eppy managed to get to Silas's scissors. She cut the string and ran outside into the sunshine. Silas was so busy that he didn't see this. When he finally looked up from his work and saw that Eppy had gone, his heart contracted with fear. He ran outside, calling, "Eppy! Eppy!" "How long has she been out of the house?" Silas asked himself in a panic. "What if something bad has happened to her? What if she's fallen into one of the deep ponds?" He ran through the fields, becoming more and more frightened. Finally, he found Eppy, playing very happily near one of the ponds. He was filled with happiness. He took her in his arms and kissed her. After this incident, Dolly said to Silas, "You must punish Eppy. If you don't, she won't learn to listen to you." But Silas couldn't hurt Eppy in any way. She grew up without being punished, and only received love and understanding from Silas. He took her with him when he took his material to the village homes. Everyone was happy to see him and Eppy. The villagers forgot the bad opinions they used to have of Silas. He became part of the community, and again felt a connection to people and the world, the way he had when he had lived in Lantern Yard. One man watched Eppy growing up with special interest. This, of course, was Godfrey. He didn't appear to feel guilty for not admitting that Eppy was his daughter. Dunstan had never returned, and people said that he had probably left the country or become a soldier. So Godfrey didn't have to worry about anything. His future looked very bright to him. He was planning to marry Nancy soon. In his imagination, he could see himself playing with the children that they would have. But he continued to give Silas money and presents for Eppie. In this way, he felt that he was acting like a real father.